God kind of put in my heart kind of a challenge of, why don't you take some songs and find the message of the song and speak on that message. Okay, God, where do you want the songs to come from? And he's mentioned the worship team. And so each week we get a new worship team member to come up here, get to know them just a little bit, and they've all presented to me a bunch of songs that are impactful to you, and I hope you heard that last week and you hear it this week. You know, these are songs that mean something important to these individuals. And so you get a little bit of a testimony, and then we dive into it with a message. So last week was our first with Trevor, who was our worship leader. And this week our guest is a bit intentional. As many of you are aware, some maybe you haven't heard, by a wonderful, timely move that God has been orchestrating, Trevor, who's been our worship leader, I think, for 6, 7 years, 8 years or so, just felt he's put his time in, and that he had been looking for a while, I've been looking for a while, for a transition into someone else that may have that giftedness. And so we're in a transition this summer of kind of overlapping responsibilities of our outgoing and incoming worship leader. To transition, hopefully by the end of the summer, you know, that will be transitioned. There is no indication or word that Trevor and his family will be done. But when a certain chapter closes, sometimes you're able to see a little clearer. And so we've been blessed for his ministry, his family's ministry for the years. But Trevor will be transitioning out, and our guest here this morning will be transitioning in. So this morning we are having Sam Huff, if you'd welcome him to the stage.
And then we gotta get situated. You know, musical people are special. Usually, you know, creative, and sometimes we take our time, and sometimes we wander and get lost and get distracted and such. We're special people, but God loves musical people too. I was a worship leader for many, many years. Actually, started about age 18, which is roughly about the age of this young man here next to me, and I've been loving music ever since, and I've been blessed by those that have gone before me and taught me many things, instructors and worship leaders, and, you know, it's a blessing to be able to have a stage for God to speak through me, and I'm sure that's true of you as well, sir. So how'd you get into music? How'd you get into worship? I'm trying to imagine, you know, your dad with really long hair in like a rock band in a VW bus or something like that, but that might not be it.
I guess I don't really know. It wasn't a family thing. I didn't really have family of musicians. My mom has always loved music. She always plays music, like listening to music, but as far as playing music outside of like high school trombone, I don't know where I came from. So I got into music. There's a lot of artists. One primarily, his name is Toby Mac. I was probably, 9 years old or something like that. Started listening to him all the time. That's kind of what got me introduced to music. And then I started playing guitar when I was 11, and I was singing at the same time. And I started getting to worship more because, like, okay, I want to be a worship leader. I don't know why I was 11. I went from wanting to be an NFL player to being a worship leader. So
logical step, yeah. I guess.
And then when I was 14, right after I turned 14, I got brought onto the team here. And shortly after I got brought onto the team, Trevor stepped in. And I guess he just kind of was like, okay, I got this kid. I mean, me and my brother Will did it at the same time, so we were both just teenagers on the team. And Trevor he wasn't the one who brought me on the team, and yet he gave me every opportunity I could ever ask for. I started to be able to get into leading more on Sundays and on Wednesdays. And I kind of grew from there. I went to college as a music major, learned about music, worship, all that. I went to Liberty University there and got an education there, and I was there for 3 semesters, and then God called me back here for probably a whole list of things, but one of them ended up being this door that was open for me to step on.
That was a great opportunity. I think you missed an opportunity. One of the main reasons why you came back.
Yeah, that is. I didn't say this was the only
multiple.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah. So what's happening in? Oh my word! A few short weeks.
Yeah. We got about a month now. It's getting real. Not that it wasn't real to begin with, but it's crunch time, and it's awesome. It's stressful. It's overwhelming, but it's also really exciting, really joyful. And my beautiful fiance has been nothing but she's just buckling down, hard worker. Yesterday she got a ton of stuff done. I mean, couldn't ask for more from her, but it's been really special.
And I'm excited. Anytime I do weddings, I pray and I try to see what God has put together in union and what the future will look like and the family and such. And Sam, of course, music is so vital. And Michaela is a dancer and an instructor, And I'm just excited, 10, 15 years down the road, a family, those that love God and express God through song, through dance, or whatever unique, maybe there will be an NFL player, and you can live your dream.
Not with our height, yeah. No.
So, yeah, excited for the future that you guys may have. And so they're getting married next month. So continue to pray for them as they do that. So what we do here in this series is we do a little duet. We might add some instruments from week to week or some extra voices or whatnot. And so Sam and I are just going to perform a little song here. You may know it. You probably don't. You're welcome to kind of just listen in. But if you want to sing, you're welcome to do that too. So tell Sam, what are we singing and what is this song?
Yeah, this song is called Faith Is. It's by an artist named Benjamin William Hastings, also known as the guy who sings So Will I. That's kind of like what got him into the platform. But this song, it's from his debut album. I'm pretty sure it was the first song that he released from it as well.
So it must be important to him.
Yeah. And it's just a really raw, honest song. And I found it at a time that I needed it, because it's so honest and it's so real, and it doesn't sugarcoat things. And that's something that I really needed to relate to in a time where I felt like I was the only one that was struggling with things.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right,
but
yeah. Well, let's hear it.
You're just gonna go? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not a lost sheep. I just feel alone in the flock. I think we all have our doubts. I think mine just caught up. And I've been stuck in my ways. I've been scared to fall. But the thoughts that I thought about you just don't work like I thought. Song's kind of hard to believe, 'cause I'm at war with myself, and I don't like how it feels. I'm out here asking for miracles I don't foresee. Faith is a gift that I'm yet to receive.
I'm more like a house on the sound. And if the wind starts to blow, I don't know how much longer I'll last. You finally song's kinda hard to believe. 'Cause I'm at war with myself. I don't know what I think. I keep asking for miracles I never see. Maybe faith is a gift that you wasted on me. Sing while you see. I gave you my heart, now take my unbelief. Oh, please. 'Cause if faith is a gift, give it to me. Oh, if faith is a gift, give it to me.
Dear God, thank you for your grace. Thank you that you meet us where we are. Thank you that you give us grace every day and that you understand what we go through, because Jesus went through what we went through and he experienced what we experienced and experienced life. Lord, I pray that you strengthen our faith, Lord. That each day our faith grows stronger and that we can go through these trials and through these storms with our heads held high and trust and believe and know that what you're doing, you work for our good because we love you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Give it up for Sam.
We are so incredibly blessed by such gifted musicians in this church and such wonderful hearts. You know, I'm tickled. You know, if you didn't know, the bass, the keyboardist, and the drummer this morning is my kids. And it's just fun to see God at work in lives of individuals. But sometimes that work that God does in our lives is through struggles. Or am I the only one here that struggles? And as Sam was sharing, you know, that's kind of what this song is. It's a struggle about faith. And so this morning we're going to talk about faith. We're going to try to talk about what faith is, and that is really complicated. That's hard. And as I start this message, I'm pretty certain for maybe three quarters of this message, I'm going to make your understanding of faith worse. I'm going to confuse you. I'm going to get you going, oh, man, this is a terrible subject. And for some of you, as I get started here, I might actually scare you. So, you know, you've been warned. Here we go. So to talk about faith, we're going to start on a different subject. Let's talk about algebra. Yeah. People are shaking their heads already. Oh, dear, I'm ready to leave. You remember in elementary, you know, you learned your numbers in, like, kindergarten, letters, numbers. You know, you got, like, 1 through 10. You got, like, a star on the board sort of thing. Then you got to 20 or whatnot. And that was kind of good enough. All right, now let's start doing things with numbers. Let's take 3 apples and add them to 3 more apples. And what do you got? Addition. Whoa, okay, I can figure that out. And then the next year, it's the subtraction. Okay, you know, we're starting to do cartwheels in our brain, but okay, I can figure out this math stuff. And then multiplication. Oh, my word. Okay, that was tough. And then you get through and you do your multiplications, you know, all the way through 12 through 12, or 12 times 12. You've got it figured out. All right, I got this made. I'm ready to graduate. I'm in the third grade. And then they do division. Oh, you know, doing everything you've learned, you got to do it backwards. And your head's spinning. And you're doing the worksheets and all that stuff. And then they throw out fractions and you're ready to quit, right? Fractions. And then they want to multiply and divide fractions and your head is going to explode as a fourth or fifth grader. It's just, it's terrible. And then you get into junior high or maybe you're right into high school. And they throw out this word. Algebra. Algebra. A noun. A generalization of arithmetic in which letters representing numbers are combined according to the rules of arithmetic. So now we're going to take all these numbers you learned, and we're going to throw them out the window, and now we're going to add and subtract and multiply and divide letters. No! I don't want to do that. That doesn't make sense. Algebra. The word algebra is derived from an Arabic word, al-jabr. It's from a Persian mathematician back in the 800s. This is from Wikipedia, so it must be true. It is not certain just what the term algebra means. We don't know what the word algebra means. Yet we have to learn it. And there's textbooks and there's classes on algebra. You must have a comprehension of algebra in order to graduate from high school. And usually not just 1 year of it, but 2. But we don't know what it means. But do you remember, hopefully, maybe most of us, we got some younger ones in here. Do you remember maybe that first time in class where you're, you know, working on a worksheet and then or the teacher's talking and you go, oh, I get it. Maybe some of you that never happened, sorry. That moment that it kind of made sense. You still didn't know why you're doing this, but okay, I can comprehend this. You have a moment, and then they add more and more, and you go up and down with your understanding. Or for some of us here, there are probably very few of us, that moment when we were in the real life outside of school, and we actually applied algebra to our life. Again, there's probably about 2 of us in here. But it would be that moment of, oh, and then you tell someone about it because you're so excited. I used algebra today. Algebra. We don't know what it is or what it actually means. It's using letters instead of numbers and doing all this stuff. And, oh, by the way, you must understand it in order to graduate. Faith. I still feel like I'm in junior high on the subject of faith. I have a comprehension. Maybe there's moments where I'm like, oh, that makes sense. And then something comes my way and I go, no, it doesn't make sense. I don't get this. So let's go back to junior high. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go to class this morning. Sorry. Our students are like, I just got done with school this week. We're done. Why are we talking about class? Let's go back to class on faith. And let's try to understand it. But like I said, I may do more harm than good. I may confuse you more. For those that, now that I'm done talking about algebra, your blood pressure is starting to come down a little bit. So, faith. First of all, faith is important. I think we understand that. Scripture tells us, Ephesians, I'm going to use a number of different versions here this morning that zero in on that word, faith. But Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not works, lest anyone should boast. Okay, salvation, the big subject. We want that. We want to be saved from our sins. We want to be rescued. We want God to grab us and lift us up. We want that salvation, and we want eternity in heaven. That's our desire. But to get salvation, we must understand that it is a gift from God. It's a gracious gift from God. That's what it is. But how he takes this package and gives it to us, the conduit of which we receive it, the thing that we have to use in order to get this gift, is faith. Faith is this thing that we use to receive God's gift of salvation. I'd say, all right, faith is pretty important. Okay? But it's not just important, faith. It's actually impossible to have a relationship with God without it. We go to Hebrews 11, verse 6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It's impossible to please God. If you're trying to think, okay, I don't think God really likes me today, I need to please him. The only way to please him, the only way to come into his presence is with faith. It's important for salvation, you gotta have it. And you can't even be in God's presence without faith. So it's important. It's possible to save without it. But you actually need more than just faith to be saved. James, oh, good old James. James 2:17. So you see, faith by itself, this thing that we don't really know what it is, but is really, really important, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless this thing that we don't know what it is, but it's really, really important, unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. What I believe in my heart comes out in my actions. I think we can understand that. The things you believe, they come out in your actions. And that has to be true of our faith, that we believe in Jesus. And so because we believe, it comes out in our actions. If it doesn't, you really don't have faith. So you can say you believe in Jesus, but if it doesn't come out in your actions, you don't. So you got to have faith, and it's got to come out in your actions. Lyrics from the song. And I've been stuck in my ways. I've been scared to evolve, and that doesn't mean evolution. It means to grow, to develop. I've been scared to grow in this. But the thoughts that I thought about you just don't work like I thought. Our understanding of God sometimes, we're trying to apply it to him. Our understanding of faith and salvation and a lot of times it's like, this isn't working. The Bible says this is what it looks like, but I just can't apply it to my life. I'm supposed to have these actions that I believe in Jesus, and yet it's not coming out. It's just not working how I thought they would. So you gotta have faith. It's impossible without it. But you gotta have more than faith. You gotta have actions. But you actually need more than faith to be saved. Am I confusing you yet? Romans 10:10. For it is with your heart that you believe, that you have faith, and you're justified. That's the starting point. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Okay, so the calculations here are getting really hard. The teacher's on the whiteboard or the chalkboard, and we're starting to shake our head. Wait, okay, I gotta have faith. I still don't know what it is and how to get it and how to use it. But I gotta have more than that. I've gotta have these works. I gotta have actions on it. And now I gotta talk about it. If faith is really in my heart, then good deeds come out, and I have this great desire to tell other people of how great God is. It's a must. You have to have that. If you keep your relationship with God to yourself, then that's not rooted in faith. Then you don't have faith. Salvation is tough. It's complicated. But what we do hopefully all understand is Salvation starts with faith. Whatever that is. And at this point, you're in the class and you're scratching your head going, all right, it's hard. It's important. And you're sitting there and you look around class and you're like, I gotta ask a question. And you work really hard and you raise your hand and go, teacher, so how do I get faith? How do I have faith in God? And they're excited and they want to give you an answer. So they're going to quote a scripture as in, this helps explain things. How do I get faith in God? And they kind of change directions. They go to James 1:6. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith in God is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as the waves of the sea that is blown and tossed in the wind. Oh, you want faith? Well, before you get faith, you need to understand this. Not only is it important and it's got all of these extra things, but if you have a sliver of doubt within your faith, you don't have faith. You can't be divided. You can't have two minds. You have to be 100% sold out in your faith. If you have any, is this going to work? If you have any doubt, if you're wavering, faith doesn't work. This is a tough subject. And then when you have that look of, okay, this is hard, then the teacher tries to encourage you again with another scripture. You go to Mark 11:23 and he tells about the story of Jesus. I don't have the scripture of it. About Jesus saying, if you have faith as big as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea. How many of you struggle with that verse? Anybody here? I was checking my phone and newsfeed and stuff like that. Anyone ever hear someone saying to a mountain, hey, go into the sea, and it happened? Anybody got evidence of that one? Uh-uh. And that's supposed to encourage me? Wow, I can tell a mountain to get into the sea? Sweet. Let's go practice. That doesn't encourage me. I'm supposed to live by, or I'm supposed to have faith. I'm supposed to be able to say to any obstacle, get out of the way. But how do I do that? And if I have any doubt, if I stare at a mountain, if I'm in the Rockies in Colorado and there's this mountain that I just don't like and I want to get out of the way and I say, go cast yourself in the sea. If I have any doubt in my mind, like, okay, laws of physics, I don't think this could really happen. If I have a sliver of doubt, it's not going to work. And I haven't seen a mountain cast into the sea, so therefore everyone is doubting that you can actually do that. How is this encouraging? I'm ready to fail this class. Were you ever in that, in a math class? You're a couple weeks in and maybe a couple days in and you're like, I'm out. I don't get it. I'm not going to understand this. It's getting harder and harder and I still don't even know the beginning lesson. God and faith, I'm ready to fail this. I don't comprehend it. And it's at this point, take a little detour, as I've asked the worship leaders to, you know, give me a song and then describe the song to me. You know, and Sam was sharing where he was in this song when he first heard it and sang it, that it was resonating with him. But I've asked them, you know, give me a paragraph, a little understanding. And I want to quote one thing that Sam put in that description to me. One of the hardest things about admitting your struggles in your faith is feeling like you're the only one with those struggles. It's profound. And it's true. Do you ever look to your left and your right as you're going through life and you have obstacles and mountains and everyone around you is like, oh, God's going to be, he's going to encourage you and it's all going to be great. And you're like, I don't feel it. Do you ever struggle with faith? Oh, no, I'm firmly committed to Jesus. You liar. We feel like we're the only ones struggling with our faith because everyone here is worried to say, yeah, I struggle with my faith. Ooh, get out of here. But it's true. We struggle with faith. So again, you're in class. You're trying to understand the subject. And it's just not clicking. It's not. We got a happy chorus going here this morning. We get the trifecta over here. I love the sound of crying babies. You know why? Because that's what you and I sound like to our Heavenly Father. We cry. We need something. There's something we desperately need. And so we cry out for our water. There it is. So you're sitting in class. You're struggling with this concept. And you look to your left and your right, and you're ready to close the book, put the pencil, number two pencil down, and slide back, and you're just frustrated. I don't get this. And you look to your left and right, and everyone's leaning forward, taking lots of notes, and you're like, am I the only one here struggling with this? Everyone else is masking it really well. And so you get to that point, and you raise your hand, and you say, teacher, I'm really struggling with this concept of faith. Can you explain it another way? And he gets really excited. Oh, yeah. Here, let me define it for you. You open up your book and your notebook, and I'm like, oh, why didn't we start there? Let's define faith. And he's really excited, and he quotes out of Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is perfect. Here's the definition. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence things not seen. All right, what does that mean? Oh, it means faith is invisible. So you can't describe it. Nope. You can't really give it a definition. Nope. But it's there. It's real. I can't describe it to you. I can't show it to you. You know, I can't go to my cupboards in the class and bring out a little description of, you know, this is what faith is. It's invisible. So what do? You slam the book, you push the book, and you're like, that's it. I'm done. At this point, you've tuned out the teacher. That person that's trying to help you understand faith, you're zoning them out, but they're on a roll, and they keep going. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, now you've completely lost me. Are you telling me I'm supposed to walk around with my eyes closed? Should I keep going here? This would be fun, okay? Am I supposed to go around with my eyes closed and just walk by faith? Am I supposed to stand in the middle of a highway and see a semi coming at me and go, it's not there, it's not there, it's not there. I'm going to walk by faith. Is that what we're supposed to do? We're not supposed to use these senses that God has given us, our thoughts, our ears, our nose, our smell. Is something burning? Ah, no, I got faith that nothing's burning. Supper will be great. We're supposed to live by faith, as in that's supposed to make things everything better. And we look around people and go, how do we do that? How do we live by faith? I can't do that. And maybe you said that in math class. I don't get it. I can't solve that problem. I don't understand. God, I can't do this. When I think I understand what faith is, and maybe I apply it, then it's gone. And then another obstacle comes, and I'm like, God, I'm not seeing you in this. I can't do this. Back to the lyrics of the song, I'm at war with myself. It's hard to sing while you seek. I should have asked you, Sam, what you thought of that, but it's hard to sing while you seek. Almost every Sunday, I'm telling you, wherever you're at, that's why I read the Psalms, we're supposed to praise God. No matter what, you're supposed to praise God. And yet sometimes we are just rehearsing lyrics on the screen. We're singing it out, but we don't believe it. Because it's hard to sing and mean praise when we're trying to find a reason to praise. We're trying to find a reason for hope. And yet we kind of just go through the motions. Because pastor says, book of the Bible says, it's hard. It's hard to sing and be rejoicing when we don't feel it, when we don't see it. And the next lyrics, I gave you my heart, now take my unbelief. And I love this. This is the end of the song. And it brings us, which I don't have the scriptures of, but Mark, if you go to Mark 9, 23 through 25, there's a man who, he's going through a difficult thing, comes to Jesus. Jesus, if you're willing, can you heal my son? And Jesus goes, if I'm willing, don't you believe that I can? And he says, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. I have belief. I have faith. But I also have doubts. I got them both. And according to my calculations, if I have any doubt or any worry, then I don't have faith. God, I think I believe. Help me. Help me. Help me. I have both. And then we cry out, in the middle of class, God, if faith is a gift, give it to me. Because I don't feel like I have it. If it's this thing that I can't see and describe and define, just give it to me. I need it. Can you do the test for me at the end of the class? Because I don't get it. I need a gift. Because God, I'm confused about faith. Or am I the only one in here? Is the rest of the class at the same point with me? I'm confused about faith. So help me, Pastor. If you're a substitute teacher, come on in here to this class and give me something I can understand. I've shared this story before. I like math. I love math. Oh, love math. My freshman year, I was in River Falls, and we had a very big class. So many students that they needed an extra class of algebra, but they were out of math teachers. So they forced one of the science teachers, I think he was physics, to teach one class of algebra. He didn't want to. So we come into class. We come into class and you get in front of the classroom. You'd open up a book. This is chapter one. Read through the explanation, answer the questions, and we'll have a test on Friday. And he'd close the book, and he'd go to his office. I love math. What do? I open up my book. I'm reading through, writing some notes. Answer the questions. Close my book. The next day, come to class. Chapter 2. Read through the descriptions. Answer the questions. Combined test on Friday. Start digging through it. At the end of the week or so, the student next to me is like, what does that mean? And I'd explain it to him. Oh, okay. And this went on for a couple weeks. And eventually two or three students would be like, Jason, what is that? After a number of weeks, this was how it would go. Teacher would come in, open up to chapter 12, read the description, answer questions, test on Friday, close the book. He'd go to his office, and there'd be this little hubbub in the class, you know, a little murmuring, some conversations. Kids are talking to each other, right? And I'm in the back because I really wanted to be in the front and raise my hand for everything, right? But no. I'll sit in the back. Maybe I'll pretend I'm not a geek. I'm in the back, and I go through, and I read it, and I answer the questions, and I don't close the book. I put my pencil down, I take the book, and I go to the front of the class, and I take a marker, and I start teaching. Any questions? There'd be questions. I'd answer questions. And it looked like they kind of had it, and I'd close my book and go sit down. A fellow student teaching other students. I kind of knew, but not fully. Because here's the problem. I understood week to week, but I didn't know the end of the class. I couldn't see it. A teacher knows that. He knows what he's trying to ultimately teach. I didn't know that. I was just a fellow student trying to bring understanding to my fellow students, but I didn't have a complete understanding. Maybe they would go, okay, I get it. Why are we learning this? I have no idea. Pastor, help me to understand faith. I'm a fellow student who struggles with faith. My name is Jason Buck. I'm a recovering faithaholic. I don't fully understand it. I've had victories and I've had defeats. What is faith, Pastor? I don't know. I'm a student of faith just like you, but I'm starting to think painfully that this is God's design of faith. I may not fully understand what faith is, but I have a textbook, and so do you. And some of you, it's hard to understand. And even for the theologians in here, it's hard to understand. And so when I don't understand, I go to the book and I read, faith is the evidence of things unseen. Oh. Someday I'm going to understand that. Someday I will. But I go to the textbook. And in the textbook, I find it repeating over and over and over that I need faith, that faith is important. You need to understand math. It's important. If you don't understand math, you don't graduate. I have to understand faith. Because if I don't understand faith, I don't graduate. But in my digging, fellow student, stumbled across the scripture. I've probably read it 1,000 times. But with the backdrop of a song that I'd never heard of, Faith Is, by Benjamin something Hastings. A song that deeply impacted Sam, and it gives me a description of faith as a struggle. And I read this verse, I go, oh, that helps. Have I figured it out? Nope. But I am encouraged from Scripture, the textbook of faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Isn't that true? Anybody here actually seen Jesus? I don't think anyone's seen him. And yet most of us, hopefully all of us here, love Jesus. This individual we have never seen. And we believe. Someone tried to describe how that works. I can't. Going on, I don't know if you have that, Josh. 1 Peter 8 and 9. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. That's another one I can attest to. I've never seen Jesus, but I put my faith in Jesus. And for some reason, it makes me feel happy. Why? How? I don't know. But I believe in Jesus. And it gives me an inexpressible joy. What is that? Define that. I can't. I just know it's true. I know that's the start. Believing in Jesus, and it changes something that I can't describe. Verse 9. For you are receiving, say receiving. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls, we must have faith in order to have salvation. And right now, we are receiving that. We're getting it. But I have to describe that a little bit more, and by describing it, that word receiving, I've got to use a Greek word. And some of you guys are like, oh great, we're talking about algebra, and now he's going to pull out Greek. Oh. The Greek word there, for you are receiving the end result of faith. So there is some faith there, and you're receiving something from it. The Greek word for receiving is chemizo. Chemizo. And I love it. I love the definition. Chemizo, or receiving, is to receive what was previously one's own. To get back. To receive back. To recover. Receiving the end result is not the first time. Faith really isn't something that you receive for the first time. No, you lost it, and now you're getting it back. And you're going to get it back again and again and again. You see, believing in Jesus is the first time you have faith. That inexpressible, I believe in Jesus, I've never seen him. That is the beginning of faith. That's the starting time. But then, the next day, the next week, we lose it. We lose it. Ah, this guy that's invisible. Someone asked me to describe him. I couldn't do it. Is there really a Jesus? So then we get to chemizo. Faith is chemizo. It's the process of getting back that which I had before. And tomorrow, I'm going to do it again. And the next day, I'm going to do it again. We have faith, we lose it. We have faith, we lose it. But we're always getting it back. Faith is a struggle. And you are struggling to receive it. And if you are struggling to receive faith this morning, to walk in faith, to that I say, praise the Lord. Because that's how we use it. It's work. Faith is hard. Faith is work. Faith is up. Faith is down. But when my wife is lying in an operation table with a 2.5 month premature child in her belly, the doctor says to me, you may not have a wife after this, or child, or both. And I'm in a waiting room that can have 70 people at night, and I'm the only soul in there in a dark room by myself waiting for the outcome of this surgery. What is keeping me company? Doubt. It is overwhelming. It's not 1% doubt. It's not 2% doubt. It is 99.99% doubt. God, what if I don't have a wife? What if I lose a son? I can't handle this, God. I am struggling to believe. But there was a sliver of a voice of God's Holy Spirit saying to me, I'm with you. I'm with you. It was just a little bit of faith, and I began to believe. There was a mountain before me, and maybe the mountain before you this morning is cancer. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's an illness. Maybe it's a trauma. Maybe it's abuse. But hear me. The cancer, the thing before you, is not the mountain. I believe the thing before you that should be cast aside is doubt. Doubt is blocking your view of Jesus. Cast it aside and believe and have faith. That mountain I have cast aside many times in my life, where I sit there in that room and I go, God, I can't do anything in this situation, but I know you can. And I know you're in this room with me. And on the other side of this situation, you're going to be with me. And that's all I need, God. I can't really see you right now. There's a mountain away, but I'm going to kick it out and focus on you. But there's a struggle that we have. Is sometimes we put our faith in an outcome. Well, God, I have faith that you can heal my wife and my child. Can he? Absolutely. But then that's all I fixate upon. The answer is, my wife and my child will be fine. That's the only thing. That's the only thing. And when I do that, I lose sight of what I'm supposed to be looking at, which is not the outcome, but the giver of the outcome. I fix my eyes on Jesus. And on the other side of the outcome, if it is devastating, he's there. If it is just what I wanted, he's there. If it's something in between, he's there. You don't fix your eyes on the mountain. You cast aside the doubt. And you don't fix your eyes on the outcome of what you expect to be done. You can hope for it. You can desire it. You can pray for it. But you fix your eyes upon Jesus Christ, because he is the giver of the outcome. He is the one that will carry you through the trauma, the abuse, the hurt feelings, the physical ailments. He will walk you through it. And when he does, and you believe, and then you doubt, and you believe, and you doubt, you are receiving the end result of your faith, salvation. Faith is a struggle. Faith is beautiful. My faith in Jesus began 35 years ago. And I have believed and doubted, believed and doubted, believed and doubted. And ultimately, I think I've come to the conclusion, no, I just believe. I just got to work on it. And I don't want to sit next to you and go, oh, you just got to have faith. I just want to sit next to you and say, I'm here. Sit next to you. Because that's what God has done in my life, in my faith. He has been there. And he puts people in my life to be there beside me. He puts scriptures in my life to be there beside me. He puts songs from some musician that I get to play over and over to and cry to and go, yes, I know what that means. God puts those beside us, but ultimately we shouldn't be looking at each other. We look at God and realize he's been there all along. When we have a sliver of doubt, it's not like he's turned around saying, I'm out. Nope, not going to be around you. He's waiting there for us to believe again and have faith. Are you going to pass Algebra 1 now? We'll see. But I hope this morning you have a bit more of an understanding of faith. And I hope you recognize it's going to be okay. Whatever it is you're going through, it's going to be okay when you fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, faith is hard. And Lord, I didn't even get into the tough ones of healings about faith. Lord, in Scripture, some buddies that put their friend down through the roof for Jesus to heal, and he was healed because of their faith, not because of his faith. My word, Lord, faith is hard. And I don't fully understand it. But Lord, as I work on it, day after day after day, I know that someday I will receive the end result. Salvation. And I don't doubt that anymore. Because you understand our struggle. Jesus himself praying, Lord, I don't want to go to the cross because it looks hard, but not my will. Your will be done. He sweat blood drops. He must have been struggling. Must have been hard. Lord, it's hard. And I pray that we understand that and encourage one another. Lord, instead of acting like we got our life all together, that it's perfect, that we're masters of faith. Lord, I pray that we help each other in their struggles. Sometimes that's just sitting beside each other and saying, I'm here for you if you need me. And Lord, I know you are there for us when you need us. Lord, I do join together in the prayers, Lord, of those here. Lord, there are some doctors talking about cancer. Lord, we speak against cancer in the name of Jesus. Lord, there are some relationships that are really going through a pounding. Lord, I pray you bring healing. Lord, there has been some trauma in lives here. Lord, we fix our eyes on you and trust that you can create a way through it. Lord, there's physical things that are going on. Lord, and you just reminded me of one of our elders, Steve Orff, who broke his leg, going in for surgery on Wednesday. Lord, and pray for a quick healing. Pray that you touch him in his heart and his mind, his family. Lord, we fix our eyes on you. Because if I fix my eyes anywhere else, I am lost. We trust in you. We believe in you. And we know that you walk with us in the struggle of life, in our struggle of faith. But the outcome is glorious. Salvation of our souls. Lord, if faith is a gift, give it to me. But Lord, if faith is something I got to work on, teach me. Teach me. In Jesus' name we pray.